This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yeah, I can figure out what I do, but I'm just being silly. Let's look at Kenneth Arnold because we did mention him. You had met Kenneth Arnold, Jerry?
Yes, I knew Ken Arnold.
Tell us about him.
Well, people ask me that question from time to time. They always seemed astounded that I knew the guy. And we were friendly. And Arnold, as I like to say, is pretty much what people think he was. He was a guy without a lot of imagination. He was a real, he wasn't stupid. He just wasn't imaginative. And he was a real down-to-earth guy, conservative by every definition of the word conservative. He was an Idaho Republican. He was a hard-working guy. He was a family man. And he just, none of this ever would have occurred to him, or would he have taken it seriously if he hadn't experienced it himself. But Arnold was pretty much the one thing about Arnold that was a little discordant with me, and it was not against Arnold, but his basic contact from the beginning in ufology was Ray Palmer. And he and Ray had some kind of association for many years. And when you would ask Arnold, you know, well, what do you think about, you know, what this means, or what do you think you were seeing? He would always quote Ray Palmer as the authority. And I enjoyed Ray Palmer as much as the next man, but I never considered him the authority on anything except the legend of Ray Palmer.
Well, Ray Palmer, of course, was such an interesting character himself. We can go into that. But Arnold got sucked into the Maury Island mess because of Palmer. And the thing I wondered here is, why did Palmer even pick that event and pick Arnold to go investigate it? It's not as if Arnold was a reporter.
Well, Palmer, I don't think Palmer thinks or thought the way you and I and Kurt do. That Ray was basically thinking about promotions. And here Arnold had gotten all this publicity. So Ray writes him. And he says, I got this letter from this guy. He's got this interesting story. And Ray was thinking, God, yeah, get the original saucer guy. And then looking into the story, which I'm sure Palmer knew was bogus, about the Maury Island materials and the men in black and stuff. But he thought that he could get a good story out of it, and he paid Arnold $500, which was a lot of money at the time. And Ray thought, oh, this sounds interesting. So Ray gets in his plane, and Ken Arnold is always flying around the Pacific Northwest. Loved flying. And his business took him places. He'd fly to different towns and cities and businesses to, you know, sell his fire equipment. So anyway, he gets sucked into this.
Let me just tell you, everybody, before we go on, $500, consider that's what, 1948? In 2020, 40, in 1947, it's worth today, 2022, and this is accounting for all the inflationary pressures we had, especially in the late 70s, early 80s, and in the current year. The total amount is over $6,200 as a result. So we're talking about a lot of money that Palmer put into this.
Yep. And Ray was a guy who watched his money pretty closely. And Ray goes, Ken Arnold goes to Tacoma to meet these clowns, Fred Chrisman and Hal Dahl. And it's pretty clear that Fred Christman cooked this thing up. And Hal Dahl was just this kind of slow-witted guy who allowed himself to be led along. And when you read the account carefully, you realize that the reason Arnold believed Christman is that it never occurred to Arnold that this guy could be lying to him, because Arnold was a real Western kind of guy, where a man's word was his bond. And the people that he knew, that's how they conducted themselves. They conducted themselves that you could make a deal on a handshake. People wouldn't lie to you unless they were real lowlifes. And so it never occurs to him that even though Christman's story gets crazier and crazier and stupider and stupider, and that Ken Arnold just sits there and takes it in and takes notes. And when these two Air Force guys show up, Brown and Davidson, that Arnold has brought into the case, these guys come because Arnold tells them this is really interesting. So these two Air Force officers fly up there from Northern California. And I think probably within 10 or 15 minutes, they'd figured out what this was about. But they did not want to embarrass Ken Arnold. And so they just left. Said, well, we got to get back now. And they took some of this nonsense material, which they knew perfectly well what it was. It was just some normal stuff you'd find on a beach. I don't remember its precise identity. So they take off, and sadly, terribly, they die in a plane crash on the way back to their Hamilton Field, which is where they come from. But Arnold is the guy who's the last guy left believing the story. That even Dahl had to confess that it was a hoax, and that was after his wife shoved a knife in under his nose and said, you tell these guys the truth now. And these guys were not Arnold and his companion, Emil Smith, but a newspaper reporter from AP.
What about all the James Bond aspects to this case, where supposedly Arnold comes into town, there are no hotel rooms available, but suddenly there's one available that was reserved in his name? And for our listeners' reference, all of this, at least from Arnold's point of view, was contained in a book called The Coming of the Saucers. The first part of the book is Ray Palmer just rehashing old sightings. The second part is kind of a diary of Arnold's personal experiences during this strange trip. I don't know. Kind of suspect that Palmer edited that section heavily, too, because Arnold was not a writer. But there you go.
Yeah, everything doesn't have to be explained. There are weird, discordant, puzzling things happen all the time. And I have no explanation for that. But it's an interesting detail, but it doesn't validate the story. The core story we know is not true. And it was a hoax made up by Fred Christman.
Well, certainly Palmer knew Christman because Christman would write letters to Amazing Stories magazine during the heyday of Shaver. So he must have known this guy Christman was a sketchy character.
Oh, he absolutely did. I don't think that Palmer was up to anything honorable. I think he was just pushing this story to sell magazines.
You know, I just want to throw this in here. I knew Otto Binder very slightly. Now, as we know, Otto was fairly well-known in science fiction circles, was a comic book continuity writer who wrote for the original character Shazam that was then called Captain Marvel. He also wrote and created or co-created Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes in 1959. And I met Otto at a sci-fi convention, and I said, hey, you know Palmer, tell me about Palmer. Well, we'll have that answer in a moment. with Jerry, Gene, and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
And he said he liked Palmer. Palmer was his friend, but Palmer would write stuff in his magazines just to get reader reaction. Whether it's Hollow Earth, whatever it is, it was to get the readers to participate, to react, I guess to buy merchandise. It was all about promotion. Not that I disliked Palmer. I met Palmer once. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times. He seemed nice. He seemed sincere. He seemed sincere enough about Shaver, but he was a promoter.
Yeah, as you know, Gene, I worked for Fade Magazine for Kurt and Mary Fuller for many years. And they told me many stories about Palmer, all of them variations on the one you just told me. But even they thought that Ray was kind of a low-level crook. But they liked him. I mean, everybody liked Ray Palmer, apparently. They just didn't trust him.
Let's go to that very briefly. It's one thing where he makes up stories, he hypes stories. Not trusting him, how so?
Well, the way that I often asked the Fullers about Ray Palmer, because, as you know, Kurt Fuller and Ray co-founded Fade Magazine in 1948. And so I was really curious about Palmer, and of course I'd read his magazines where Your Path and Mine crossed. And so I was curious about this guy. One thing I remember in particular, their description of his personality, they said that he liked nothing better than to put one over on you. And this was like in the most casual social circumstance. You know, now if I were an amateur psychologist, which thank God I'm not, but if I, just to say I was, I would speculate, okay, here's this guy who's terribly maimed when he's a little kid in an accident with a milk truck. And then he's put in the hands of a completely incompetent Milwaukee physician. And so he ends up 4 foot something tall all through his life. So he's kind of living in many ways on the outside of society. And I think that he got used to people staring at him when he walked down the street. And fortunately, his personality was such that he was able to find a nice woman and fall in love with her and get married and have a good family with kids. You know, he could function on that level. But as far as the larger society outside his immediate life was, he probably had all kinds of desires for vengeance, to get back at people because they didn't treat him right. And so maybe he unleashed those social aggressions by putting stuff over on people, not becoming a major crook or anything, but a guy who's staying on this side of the law was able to make a lot of people believe in things they shouldn't have.
I was going to ask you about if you'd heard about the way Fate Magazine was put together. Now, we know Amazing Stories, he was selling the Shaver mystery as genuine and even had readers encourage them to write in about tales of spaceships before UFOs, you know, as we know them, existed. And when he started Fate Magazine, the first two covers were UFO stories with Kenneth Arnold involved, but that was only one flavor of paranormal and weirdness. There were many other things from the incarnation and the supernatural, witchcraft, and, oh, you know, you name it, voodoo and things.
Yeah, telepathy, ghosts, monsters, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah. Did all of that come from him? How did Fuller come into that, and how did he manage it after Palmer left?
Well, what happened was that the publisher of Ziff Davis, the publisher of Flying Magazine and also of the science fiction and fantasy magazines that Palmer edited, wanted to move from Chicago to New York City. And Kurt Fuller's wife, Mary, was suffering from tuberculosis, and she was in the sanitarium. And Kurt was holding down the fort at home, taking care of their two kids who were little. And he had his hands full. He did not want to move to New York City. He wanted to stay somehow in Chicago. And he wanted to stay in publishing. He wanted to stay, but he didn't want to leave Chicago. And Palmer just didn't want to move to New York City. It didn't sound like a place that he would like. And he was already starting to think that he was going to move up to Portage County, Wisconsin, which is where Amherst, okay, he moved to a little town in the early 1950s called Amherst, which, by the way, is also the home of an excellent brewing company. And I, as I'm sitting here, I am drinking an Amherst brew from Central Waters Brewery. It must be a very interesting little town. But he lived there until he died in 1976. And Kurt was gone a lot. He was mostly involved in Flying in the early days, in Flying magazine, which he was the editor of. And so he put, when they started Fate up, Palmer was basically the guy in charge. He was the guy who was there day to day. And he left the Ziff Davis company in the late 40s, 48, 49, just like 2 or 3 years after Ziff Davis wasn't interested in publishing the Shaver Mystery anymore. And so when Palmer was there in the early days, if you go back to those early issues, they're pretty interesting. It's a lot of wild stuff in there. And turns out that Palmer and his friend, Louise Taylor Hansen, who was a writer that Palmer knew, who was interested in the occult and alternative archaeology and those sorts of things, just sat there and made up a lot of stories. So a lot of the early Fate magazine is pure fiction by any definition. Now, the Fullers were both graduates of McGill University, the McGill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. And so they had journalistic standards, but they, neither of them was in shape to enforce them, so they were completely dependent on Ray to hold the ship down while they tried to keep their own lives in order. And finally, the tension just got to the point, and the Fullers did not believe Shaver at all. They knew him. He would show up, and he'd be around the office, and they met him on a number of occasions. They said he was a real nice guy, but they thought he was crazy, and crazy is the word they use when they would talk about him.
You know, anyway, when I met Shaver once, as you probably know, in the early days.
I know that, yeah.
Yeah, so when I interviewed him, of course, and I got lots of letters from him, and we can ask about that in a moment. For now, I would tell you that between myself and my first wife, Geneva, we had probably hundreds of letters from Shaver. Hundreds of letters. They're no longer around. But we're talking about the switchover from Palmer leaving Fate and the Fullers taking a more active role. More to come with Gene, and with Kurt, and with Jerry. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The hostage situation at the Colleyville Synagogue is over. Governor Greg Abbott tweeted about 9:30 p.m. that all hostages are safe after a loud bang and gunfire were heard. FBI Special Agent Matt DeSarno.
We do believe from our engagement with this subject that he was singularly focused on one issue, and it was not specifically related to the Jewish community, but we're continuing to work to find motive, and we will continue on that path. In terms of the resolution of the incident, the hostage taker is deceased. We will conduct an independent investigation. My evidence response team will be here to process the scene, and a team from Washington will be here to conduct an independent investigation of the shooting incident, and that's the way we handle those things through our normal standard operating procedure.
This is USA Radio News. Efforts by the White House to pass federal voting rights legislation went nowhere in the Senate after two Democrats made it clear they wouldn't approve changes to the filibuster. Senate Republican Roger Wicker of Mississippi.
Thank heaven for Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema this past week for withstanding the browbeating, the unbelievable pressure that they got from their caucus.
A fire broke out at an industrial complex in New Jersey. The fire broke out just after 8 at Majestic Industries in Passaic. No injuries were immediately reported. Smoke from the fire billowed across the Hudson River into New York City and more than 50 miles into the Atlantic. Majestic Industries manufactures furniture for casinos. Flames spread to an adjoining building used by Qualco, but didn't reach the chlorine pellets that are manufactured there. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
So in the early days, he called himself Robert N. Webster, didn't he, Ray Palmer at Fate Magazine? He didn't call himself Ray Palmer.
Well, Palmer's name, you know, that's a good question. I thought that whether it was on the masthead, I think it was, because Palmer had a following. But Robert N. Webster was kind of a house pseudonym. And I don't know if Kurt used it at all. I think he did sometimes, but it was basically the house pseudonym.
But anyway, Richard Schaefer, what can you tell us about Schaefer?
Well, there have been a couple of good biographies in the last 10 years about Palmer and Schaefer. A particularly good one is by Richard Toronto. It's called War Over Lemuria, which is the best history probably that anybody will ever write of the Palmer-Schaefer relationship in that era, both in science fiction and in the kind of paranormal occult publishing that Fate pioneered. But Palmer tells a story which is really intriguing if you don't know the full story. But in mid-1943, Palmer was getting these letters from Schaefer, who lived in Pennsylvania. And he had a farm near Bartow, Pennsylvania. And so Palmer got really interested in who this guy was and these strange stories he was telling. So he made arrangements to go out to Pennsylvania and stay at the farm with the Schaefers. And he told the story, Palmer, for the rest of his life, that he'd heard these horrible voices from these demonic Dero characters who lived under the earth and tormented human beings. And he could hear them talking about how they had kidnapped some local young woman and tortured her. And he said it was just horrible, and he didn't know where the voices were coming from. But they didn't even sound entirely human. So you read the story, and you make the naive mistake of assuming that Palmer's a normally reliable guy. And you think, well, gee, that's interesting. You know, and well, it turns out, as I've learned when I read Richard Toronto's book, that yes, he did hear these voices, but he knew where they were coming from, and they were coming from Shaver, who was channeling them. He was lying on a couch, and these voices were coming out of him, and the Deros and all these fantastic stories about these demonic under-earth dwellers. It's just all the product of a mental disorder from Richard Shaver. It wasn't evidence that the Deros really existed and that Palmer really heard them. He just left out the detail that he heard the voices coming out of Shaver's mouth.
Well, you know, what was interesting here, Jerry, is when I interviewed Palmer, and we're going through all the Shaver lore, and suddenly he throws out this bit. Well, you know where Shaver really was when he said he was in the caves? He was in a mental institution, which of course was true. But of course Shaver went ballistic when Palmer revealed that.
Yeah, he was in two institutions. One was in Michigan, I think the other one was in Massachusetts. You read Toronto's book, and you really end up sympathetic with Shaver, because Shaver wasn't a bad guy at all. He just, you know, had this sort of strange kind of mental illness, but ordinarily he was functional, and he was a nice guy, and he was honest, according to Toronto's book. But Ray endlessly exploited him, didn't use his story endlessly for financial gain, didn't pay Shaver royalties, just lied to Shaver, just used him.
Well, he said, Ray Palmer said a precedent almost. I mean, you can look at Shaver as the first UFO witness and Ray Palmer's role. I mean, even look at Lynn Stringfield. There's like, here, I can't prove this story is true, but this guy says it, and this sort of becomes the model for a certain style of UFO reporting. It's like, I can't verify the story, but it's based on what this man said.
Well, I wouldn't compare Stringfield and Shaver and Palmer. Palmer was an exploiter, and he knew exactly what he was doing, and he would do whatever it took to keep people interested. Stringfield was an extremely honest guy who was genuinely puzzled about what was happening to him, about these informants telling these stories and so on. And I don't blame him. I read his monographs, and some of those stories are genuinely puzzling. Not puzzling enough to make me believe them, although they could be true. I wouldn't put a great deal of money on that, but if I bet on it, I'd be sure I wouldn't bet my life savings, because who knows what's true. But for all practical purposes, these are just stories. But Stringfield was trying to understand them, trying to investigate them to the extent that he could. He wasn't trying to exploit them. And other people exploited the stories, but not Stringfield himself. Stringfield is, I think most people in the UFO field, in my experience, are honest. But even so, I think Stringfield was unusually honest. Nobody would say that of Ray Palmer.
Hmm. Now, let me ask you here very quickly here, because we touched upon but never completed that. All right, so Palmer mostly runs Fate magazine in the early years because the Fullers are dealing with their own issues. At some point in time, Palmer separates himself from the Fullers. How did that happen?
Well, I think that, initially, Shaver wanted to be near Palmer. So he moved into northeastern Illinois into a town where, in fact, my younger son is now a school teacher. And then the Palmers moved up to Amherst, Wisconsin. And the Shavers followed them there. And I believe, if my memory serves, that the Palmers lived only about a mile away from the Shavers, and the Palmers lived about a mile apart. And then as time passed, growing tension developed between them, often over financial matters. And Shaver really began to suspect that Ray was just using him. And they just began to quarrel. And so the Shavers didn't see any reason to stay around there. So during that time, there was just beginning people moving down to Arkansas. You know, and so that's where they moved.
Right, but what was Palmer leaving to Wisconsin the reason he split off from Fuller's?
Well, I don't know every single intricate detail there. I know that from what I read and what I understand, Palmer wanted to move to Wisconsin. He wanted to move to a small town and set up his publishing operation there. And it was Palmer Publications. And so he was doing printing for local merchants. He was publishing a couple of two or three magazines. He was just doing whatever he could do to make a living. And the Fullers had an idea of how they wanted fate to be. And they weren't crazy about Ray's editing style.
You know, we'll go into more of this in a moment with Jerry Clark. Our special guest co-host is Kurt Collins. I am Gene Steinberg. You're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, I have to tell you, Palmer always pleaded near poverty in trying to build his business once he established his own company. And I visited his home that one time back in 1965. It was a lovely home with a huge picture window overlooking a river. So I think the guy obviously had more money than we expected. And it was kind of funny because Jim Moseley was driving us from Chicago to Amherst, Wisconsin, and kind of getting lost. And so what happens is we enter Amherst, which is a really, really tiny place, goes to the first or maybe the only service station in the town to get some gas. And he says, by the way, do you know where this Ray Palmer fellow lives? And the guy says, sure, here's how to get there. Small town. Anyway, okay, we're still kind of seeing here the split between the Fullers and Palmer. At what point does Palmer disappear from fate?
I think that he moved out of, he's living in Evanston, Illinois, which is right where I used to live, right next to Chicago, college town. I think he moved about 1951, something like that. The magazine was sold formally in 1955. The Fullers bought out Palmer's share in 1955. So the magazine legally became solely the Fullers. But I think that it had been several years since Palmer had been active in Fate magazine. When Mary got out of the tuberculosis sanitarium, which would have been the early to mid-50s, she became the full-time editor. And Kurt, after Ziff Davis moved to New York, Kurt bought an RV publishing company that published guides and a monthly magazine for people who like to travel around in the country in RVs, who included my late parents. And that's where he made his money. He kept Fate going because, as he and Mary would put it, it was fun.
Well, so how did, with Ray Palmer, there was an endless source of material, and, you know, if there wasn't a someone with a ghost story, you know, you could have made one up. So where did they find the material once Ray Palmer was out of it.
Oh, there was no end of material. No, no. I worked there for a number of years. There was never any shortage of material. You just got to choose what you want, what you thought would, the readers would most likely be interested in reading.
Okay, well, so I know you were there in 1980. When did you start? And you tell us some about how things worked when you were there.
Well, I originally worked there for about 6-7 months between 1970 and 1971, and I had some personal misfortune, a traumatic breakup with a girlfriend, and I just didn't feel like being in there. I just wanted to go back home to Minnesota. And so in the summer of 1976, I came down to Chicago to attend a UFO conference that Alan Hynek was putting on. And so I went to see Kurt and Mary because I'd stayed friendly with them. I'd done some writing for the magazine. And to my complete shock, they asked me if I'd like my old job back. And I listened carefully because I was about to get married and I wasn't sure how I was going to support, you know, my bride and myself. And so I took up the job, and I was there until Fate was sold in 1988. The last issue that I was editor of was February 1989. Then I moved back to Minnesota, where I've lived ever since. But I was close to the Fullers. I loved the Fullers. They were like, you know, after my dad died, Kurt Fuller really became, you know, my substitute father. He was a wonderful man. He and Mary were great people. I still love them.
I interviewed the Fullers at one time for Caveat Emptor magazine, and they were such a fun couple, I agree with you. They were the kind of people who completed each other's sentences.
Oh, yeah.
Super close and super friendly.
Yep. Yeah, they had a very close, happy marriage. They were good people. They were... Yeah, Mary was more eccentric than Kurt, but they were just good people.
You almost think then as opposites of Palmer.
They and Ray Palmer were indeed an odd partnership. They didn't have much in common.
Now, I should point out that I also talked several times with Ray Palmer's wife, Marjorie. She was certainly protective of him when we visited Palmer back in 65, but she seemed like a pretty nice person. And Ray Palmer's son has been on the Paracast, and he was very nice too, but he was not at all interested in continuing his father's work. Instead, for a period of time after Ray died, his wife and his son continued publishing the various magazines for a while, and I presume they kept up the printing business for some years.
Yeah. Well, the Fullers always spoke highly of Marjorie Palmer. They really did like her. I think everybody liked Marjorie, although I never met her myself.
I wish we could have the subscription role for Fate magazine during those days, because I feel certain we would see Robert Bigelow's name on the topics. Almost all the topics that were covered were things that he wound up funding study for in the NIDS, the National Institute for Discovery Science. You know, the life after death, UFOs, you know, all aspects of the paranormal.
Well, I had one impression I got when I was working there was that one of the things that I was mostly in charge of, particularly when I was an associate editor, of dealing with the correspondence. So there'd be letters that come in, people would ask about this or that, like the status of their subscription and blah, 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 things like that. And from time to time, I would see the names of prominent science fiction writers that I knew. For example, one I remember is Richard Matheson, who wrote a lot of the Twilight Zone episodes. He wrote the novel I Am Legend, which was made into several vampire movies. And, you know, really a good writer in what he was doing. And so I was dealing with this guy from Beverly Hills or someplace named Richard Matheson. And so I wrote him a letter and I asked this question. I said, are you the guy who wrote I Am Legend? I said, I remember that novel very fondly. And he sent me a really nice note back. And so I got the impression that some of these writers these science fiction fantasy writers that I dealt with were reading Fate magazine, possibly because they're interested in the subject matter, but also they were looking for plots for stories.
So you would take the plot of a story in Fate, switch it around a little bit, and it becomes a fantasy or horror story.
Yeah, or science fiction. I mean, it was, I just had an impression. I can't prove that. But I thought, you know, that would be a good place if you were writing this stuff professionally and you were always looking for ideas. You know, so Fate would be a good magazine to subscribe to. Remember, Fate was pretty much on its own in those days. Now we're inundated with, you know, weird stuff on television, internet, and books, and so on and so on. But in those days, that information was not as widely disseminated.
Well, the closest competition, there wasn't any, except, of course, Palmer tried to come up with a competitor to Fate called Search, but the circulation never reached the same level.
No, and it wasn't. It was first Mystic. I think it was Mystic, and then it was Search.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was not a very interesting magazine. Palmer on his own, doing the magazines and Palmer Publications in Wisconsin, they were not very interesting publications. And the most interesting thing back in the day when Gene and I were young lads, the interesting thing was the Saucer Club news, because you'd read about these, you know, your contemporaries who were publishing newsletters, you know, mimeographed null newsletters. And so you knew that you had places to go to read more about saucers than you were getting it in Palmer's publications.
And, well, the other thing about Palmer, which was very different than Fate, Fate would pay an author sum. Not a lot of money, but a sum. Whereas Palmer put everything in there free of charge. So certainly the quality of the material had to be inferior.
That's right. Sometimes I would see that someone who'd sent us a manuscript, which we'd rejected, had sent it to Palmer and was published in Palmer's magazine. And when I would see it in print, I would remember why we turned the story down. So he just had a lot of inferior material to deal with.
We've got Jerry Clark, who produces superior material. Kurt Collins and Gene Steinberg. That means you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.